It's become a common phrase that I've repeated to my daughters lately, and that is probably the dumbest fight I've ever heard. Just arguing about dumb things.
Wait, now are you doing a new hook?
No, this is the same hook.
Okay, because you did this. You did the hook for today yesterday.
I did, and it's the same thing. Because okay. I think God sometimes, our Father in heaven, says the same to us. You are all twisted up and just the dumbest fight right now.
Yeah. I you know, your mom and I one time had a fight about what we were fighting about.
Did you?
I actually stopped and said, what are we fighting about? She said, we're fighting about what we were fighting about. That's how stupid we could be.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that was her fault, by the way. Yeah,
of course.
She started.
Well, I know, Mom. It's always her fault.
Yeah.
That woman. No, I for real though, we can make this into a joke, but the reality is how many of us really are just twisted up into the dumbest of arguments or we're upset with somebody over just the dumbest of things.
Yep.
And Paul wants to address that today in 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Yeah, it's a great chapter. You're listening between the lines. I'm Scott
Junior.
And let's go ahead and get started. I'll go ahead and take right off. We're just 16 verses here. So verse 1, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith, which we've seen that. They call it deconstruction, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
They will follow deceptive spirits.
Which, by the way, can I just say, I've heard people ask, like millennials, Gen Xers say, like, well, deconstruction, that's like making you deconstruct what you know to build up a better worldview, a better faith, right? It's like, no. That's just called learning.
Yeah.
I don't need to deconstruct
We should be doing that all the time.
I'm just going to learn to grow it.
Right. We should always be questioning what we're thinking to some degree and growing and learning at all times.
Yeah.
But to basically tear it all down and start over, that's not a biblical
concept. There's times
where
I'll learn something new and be like, oh, okay, well, what I thought before wasn't right. I'm not going to deconstruct everything. Right. I'm just going to be like, all right, well, now I know more.
Yeah, we should all allow ourselves to be challenged, of course.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway... It's a very rare thing to run across somebody who supposedly deconstructed, who did not begin that journey with moral choices that had contradicted their belief system prior.
It's funny you say that, because I just had a friend say to me, I don't know if I've ever met anybody who deconstructed who didn't just deconstruct so they could sleep with somebody they wanted to sleep with.
Yeah, that's oftentimes.
That's so true.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so anyway, they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. This is demonic, he says. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Paul's pretty tough on this.
He is.
They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks for faithful people who know the truth. This is the legalism that the Judaizers were trying to bring into Gentile Christianity. Since everything God created is good, and we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. I used this verse on your mom, by the way, with sushi. And that's why I said you really need to try it.
Hmm.
By the way, she did. And my birthday, a couple weeks ago, she took me out for sushi. And
nice.
She ate the raw tuna sushi.
Did she like it?
She kind of did.
See, Nicole doesn't like sushi, but on our anniversary, we went out as well.
Yeah.
And she started to like it a little
bit. Yeah, well, good. Anyway, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. Verse 6, if you explain these things to the... I know that was manipulation to use a Bible verse like that to get her to eat sushi, but...
Well, when we're talking about that woman, sometimes you need to use everything you can.
Yeah. I'm just feeling like I need to confess my sin here in front of the podcast. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Man, oh man.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time arguing. Train yourself to be godly. Actually, the word there, train, it's the Greek word gymnao. And we get the word gymnasium from it. It means to work out, to train. As it says train here, it's like an athlete, a Greek athlete. They're working out to get ready for a race or a competition. And that's what we're supposed to do with godliness. And godliness takes discipline that you have to work at. Now the Holy Spirit, we don't work... to get our salvation. God entirely gives us our salvation. He gives us the Holy Spirit, enabling us to be able to be godly and to live godly, but to make the right choices and to do good things, it does take discipline.
Yeah.
And this is called progressive sanctification. Sanctification is the aspect of salvation. You got justification, which is when you're declared righteous before God. Then you have glorification. That's when we're taken to heaven. And in between the two, you've got sanctification. And the sanctification is that aspect where we have to work together with the Holy Spirit to do as he's leading us to do.
To obey.
To obey. And yeah. It does take discipline.
Teach
him
to obey all that I have commanded you. But I just, you know, I think with today, if Paul were here, you know, he'd look at all the people who are get so up in arms about politics or get so up in arms about tertiary issues mm-hmm. within the church.
Yeah.
And Paul would just say, shut up and be godly. My yeah. goodness, it's hard enough to just be godly.
Yeah, it is. Right. It is. You don't have to be right about politics, but you do need to be right about living godly lives.
That's right.
And recognizing that the rest of the world is watching us.
Don't gossip. Don't slander.
So train yourself to be godly. You want to pick up verse 8?
Yeah. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. Mm. Teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think of you because you are young.
Think less of you, yeah.
I'm sorry, think less of you.
So Timothy was young here at this church in Ephesus as this lead pastor, leading a major ministry, and a young guy doing it. Yeah. But he doesn't say, here's, I think, where sometimes young people get this wrong. You know, Paul says, don't let anybody look down on you because of your youth or think less of you because of your young, because you're young. And they think right away, oh, I need to let them know.
Buck up.
Yeah. Listen, I.
That's not what he's saying.
Respect me. You need to respect me.
Right.
But look what he continues. This is how you keep people from looking down on you.
Yeah. Be an example to all believers in what you say. And the way you live, in your love, your faith, your purity.
So that's how you keep people from thinking less of you because of your youth.
Be respectable.
Yeah.
Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers, and teaching them. Do not neglect, oh, by the way, this is why we love Between the Lines, because it's like this is what they did in the early church. Yeah. They didn't have the scriptures in their house, so they would get together and they would hear the pastor read it.
Yeah,
and
it was
essentially
read publicly.
Between the Lines was happening during Paul's time.
Right. Yeah, we're just kind of picking it up again.
That's right. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you.
That's great. Well, you got a couple of great chapters, these next two chapters for the weekend, for Saturday and Sunday. So make sure that you go through chapter 5 tomorrow and then chapter 6 on Sunday. You know, a lot of people wind up skipping. I think the most commonly skipped Bible reading day for most people is Sunday. They figure, well, I'm going to church, so I don't need to have my quiet time or my Bible reading time. You don't want to skip this. I mean, chapter 6 is just really awesome. And besides that, it's going to prepare yourself so much better for if you get up early enough to spend some time in God's Word, read the Bible, pray, and then you go to church, and you're going to find that being there with corporate worship is going to be so much more powerful after having had your own quiet time with God. So I encourage you to do that. And we want to see you. We want to see you in church as well.
That's right.
All right, so let's we're get over to Proverbs, right? Proverbs is, today's the 12th?
Yep, Proverbs chapter 12 would be the corresponding chapter.
All right, so, man, I've got so much stuff highlighted in this chapter. There's so much practical stuff here, but let's just pick up verse 12. Verse 12 says, thieves are jealous of each other's loot, which, you know, that's true. I mean, the best of TV shows will point that out, that they always wind up turning on each other. And that's, you know, that's how they get caught. But then we read, thieves are jealous of each other's loot while the godly bear their own fruit. Mm. And so there's a certain kind of fruit that being godly, meaning being, by the way, godly means to be like God.
Yep.
You know, can we really be like God? Not in power, but we can be like God in values.
Yeah. I can't remember which church father said that we sin when we try to copy God's attributes that we can't. But we should be copying God's attributes that we can copy, like his gentleness and holiness. And but we want to be all powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness.
Right.
And so that's godliness.
Yep.
While the godly bear fruit, their own fruit. A lot of people don't know that the word good actually comes from God, in fact. So we're talking about being good, being being good people, being God's kind of people. Yeah. And there's a certain kind of fruit that is born by being godly.
All right. Well, today is National Desk Fist Day.
What?
Can you guess what that is?
Desk fist?
Desk fist.
It was like pounding your fist on the desk?
No, it's desk plus breakfast. Oh, eat brother. Your breakfast at your desk.
Desk fest.
Desk fast?
Oh, man, I don't know.
You know what, though?
I don't think that's a good thing.
I promise you,
I think
I'm
that's a
going
thing.
To get an email from people saying, every day I eat my breakfast at my desk. I guarantee it's going to happen.
I don't think it's good for you.
You think I'm crazy? You don't think it's good for you?
No.
Why?
I think meals, I don't like combining meals. I mean, once in a while, if there's some kind of a documentary or something that mom and I are going to watch, you know, we'll eat with, you know, watching it. But we try to separate eating from other things.
It is healthy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, eating at your desk, I don't know. Even for me, it's good for lunch. It's much better to take a break, go home, grab something to eat, come back, than to sit at my desk and eat.
See, I'll warm something up and watch something on YouTube for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's sinful.
Okay. Well, hopefully my process of sanctification will continue.
Well, honestly, when it comes to breakfast, I've learned that, you know, I've been on this, my goal is for this year is 1 pound a year. I'm trying to lose 1 pound a year.
Okay.
I mean, not one pound a month like, for the year.
Are we shooting for the sky over there?
One pound a month. So I want to get, really the goal was 10 pounds a year, and I'm going to give myself a little grace there. But okay. I've learned that I can lose weight. I can do better when I skip breakfast.
Yeah.
Because I'm not hungry at lunch then. When I eat breakfast, I'm really hungry at lunch.
Okay. Well, there you go.
You're glad to hear that, huh, for your desk fist day.
Yeah, desk fist day. 1 pound a year. You can do it. Have a great weekend. Hope to see you in church. Keep reading your Bible, and we will see you on Monday.